It's already March of 2021. Who would have thunk it already? And I've been looking forward to this for quite a while as we are in our 30th year here at Bible Baptist Church. And as we looked at our meetings this year and the different ones, we just wanted to get Brother Hamblin back. Of course, we've had him scheduled since 2019 when he was here last. So I'd like to claim credit of thinking of this just for our 30th anniversary, but this was set up 2 years ago. So we're glad he's here. Always enjoy him. We did do something different this year. It's usually been a Sunday through Wednesday. And this year we're going Sunday through Friday. So we are doing something a little extra. I know why, because I need those extra 2 days to get revived. That's what it is. So we scheduled this all around me this year. Hopefully you're with me, and you'll enjoy 2 extra days of it this year. So we'll not say a lot this morning about Dr. Hamblin. I know to some of you here he is new, but we'll introduce him more formally because he just demands formal introductions. That's just the way he is. We'll introduce him more formally in the morning service, but for now, Brother Hamblin, come on ahead.
What time do I need to
10:30.
I can do that.
That would be the end of
Thank
Sunday
you, sir. You're Thank you. Open your Bibles, the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. It's a wonderful joy and blessing to be back at the great Bible Baptist Church in Byesville, Ohio, for this anniversary, celebration, revival meeting. It is not every day that a fundamental church has an anniversary. It's not every day that a fundamental church has a 30th anniversary, and I'm certainly excited and elated to be here, and I can't think of a better way to commemorate, to congratulate a big anniversary like that than in special services in a revival meeting. And so, Dr. Leafley, I'm honored to be here, and I've been praying much for these services and looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. Isn't that beautiful weather out there? My goodness. I had packed, being from Michigan, I had packed a overcoat and a winter dress hat and a scarf and earmuffs and a long panel underwear. Maybe that's too much information. But beautiful, beautiful day. And we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. As you're turning there, literally, as I was packing Friday to leave on Saturday afternoon, from the sword of the Lord, there came a box of the first thing, Dr. Leithley, they published for us, The Religion of the New Cart. They had published this in, 2003, and they just republished it. They freshened up the cover a little bit. And it's brand new. You'll be the first one who's ever had the opportunity to get it. And in it, the message, The Religion of the New Cart, I deal with what I call the religion of the new cart, churches that have gone the contemporary route, the contemporary road. No matter where I preach, how large the city, how small the town, within driving distance of where I'm preaching is a new cart, what I call a new cart church. You say, what's a new cart church? Well, bad Bible, bad music, bad philosophy, bad, bad, bad. And this deals with it just right up front, out the gate. Don't pull any punches. The religion of the new cart. And it's kind of neat because just as I was getting ready to leave, the box came, and you'll get to be the first ones that can get it. Also, since I was here last, the Sword of the Lord published this devotional entitled Neology. You probably have heard of theology, the study of the nature of God. Well, I like to use the word neology, the study of the nature of prayer. And this is altogether different than anything that's on the book table, because everything that's on the book table is sermonic. In other words, it's sermons that I've preached. But this is devotional. And it is a 31-day devotional that deals with prayer. And the goal for Neology, the goal is to take all of our prayer lives to another level. Wouldn't you like to get the place in your Christian life where a sermon on prayer, scripture on prayer, a song on prayer doesn't convict you? I'd like to get there. I really would. And if you're like me, you appreciate help in the area of prayer. Now, here's what I think is the neat thing about it. Day one is whenever you start it. And I deliberately designed it that way. We're already a couple days into March, and so you don't have to wait till April to begin this devotional. You can start today. And so what I do is I make a statement about prayer. This is day 14. Heaven's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. Then I give you a quote from one of the giants that are gone along that thought. Prayer is the slender nerve that moveth the muscles of omnipotence. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that. Then he gave you a Bible verse. That's always good. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then watch this, three brief paragraphs on that truth. And so this will not put you behind in your Bible reading. And sprinkled throughout, Neology is some of my favorite hymns on prayer. After the 31 days, I show you how we can make a prayer covenant with the Lord. I help you with that. And then there's the message that I've preached here, preached it all across the country, why the believer ought to pray. And I know churches, Dr. Leithley, that have bought boxes of these. In fact, the church where I was at last week, in a revival meeting in, Carrollton, Georgia, they're going through Neology right now. And so, I want you to get it. Just as soon as it came out, I was preaching in a meeting, and a lady came to the book table, and new convert, and she said, Dr. Hamblin, I got Neology, and she said, I didn't know, keep in mind, new convert, I didn't know you could pray for things. And she said, I learned in Neology that you can pray for things. And she said, my son has recently, unexpectedly, in his early 20s, passed away. And she said, so I learned in Neology that I can pray for things. And she said, I began to pray for money for his headstone. And she said, today, half of that money has come in. And I'm just going to keep praying till the Lord sends the rest of the money in. I was back at that church the following year. She came to the book table, pulled out her cell phone, showed me a picture of her son's headstone. And with tears in her eyes, she said, it is paid for. And she said, it was paid for through prayer. My, if that's all God ever did with Neology, that's all that he did, it'd be worth the enterprise, it'd be worth the expense, it'd be worth the effort, and man, I want you to get it, Neology. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, and I'll take but one verse of Scripture, which will serve as a springboard for what I want to give to you this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. Now, you know that we couldn't have a revival meeting, we just couldn't, without having this verse somewhere, sometime in one of the services. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. And I want to give you something this morning that right recently the Lord has given me. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want you, if you will, to underline in your Bible that word humble. H-U-M-B-L-E, humble. And for a few moments, I want to speak on the subject. No sense taking steps 2, 3, and 4 when we won't take step 1. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to stand before a group of people to teach the Word of God. I pray that you'd give us spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear, and hearts that would be spiritual enough to respond to the good Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a truth this morning that would not only help us this hour, but that would stay with us the rest of the week, and that would help us the rest of our Christian lives. May the Holy Spirit be our Sunday school teacher, for we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. If a Christian church or even a country doesn't experience and enjoy a mighty move of God, no one can ever lay the blame at the feet of divinity, for it must be the blame laid at the feet of humanity. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, we find heaven's blueprint for genuine revival. And let me just say in passing, a sidebar if you will, that this will work in any day, that this will work in any dispensation. The Holy Ghost, the penman of the Bible, makes it brutally clear that the first step of a spiritual awakening is in that phrase, shall humble themselves. Now let's just be transparent. Most of God's people don't have a problem with steps 2, 3, and 4, but step 1 is that step that seemingly is a 500-foot wall that keeps us from real revival. Why, we can get folks to do step 2, and we can get folks to do step 3, and we can even get folks to do somewhat step number 4, but it just seems like that first step is a wall, is a blockade, is a hindrance in us having revival. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, who said, humility makes us ready to be blessed by the God of all grace. He also said, be not proud of your race, face, place, or grace. There are no less, Dr. Leithley, some 45 Bible verses on humility. And I looked up every one of them in preparing this thought. I'm kind of proud of that. I'll let you catch up. Some 45 Bible verses that deal with humility that I looked up for this thought. Friend, you and I need to take step 1 before we take steps 2, 3, and 4. Now I want to give you this morning quickly 4 things about humility that the believer needs to understand. And keep in mind that it is the first step. If we're not willing to take step number 1, now I'm not being harsh, but if we're not willing to do step 1, then we might as well just go ahead and pull the plug on this thing. If we're not willing to do step 1, then let's recall all the flyers. Let's put out an announcement on social media that the meeting has been canceled. If we're not willing to do step 1, then let's contact all the preachers and churches. And Dr. Leithley, I've got some that are coming this week, and let's just tell them that we're not going to play revival. We're not going to play anniversary celebration. We're not going to play church, and we just deep six this thing right out the gate if we're not willing to take step 1. Let's quickly notice how important humility is in the life of the Christian. Number 1, it's conditional. Number 1, it's conditional. If you'll leave a Bible marker in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I want you to turn to Mark 9 and 35. A thing about humility that the believer needs to understand, first of all, it's conditional. Mark 9, 35, and he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. You see a thing that the Bible tells us, that the Bible teaches us about humility, it's conditional. The conjunction of a spiritual awakening is also the conjunction of a servant's attitude. Isn't it interesting that the if any man, do you see it, desire to be first, the same should be last of all and servant of all. Isn't it interesting that that if is conditional, and the if of Mark 9:35 is the if of 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's conditional. Number two, it's Christ-like. Please look at Philippians 2 and verse number 8, a thing about humility that the Bible teaches, that the Bible tells the believer. Secondly, it's Christ-like. Philippians 2, 8, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A thing that the Bible there teaches, tells the believer about humility, the importance of it is Christ-like. Now, there are many ways where we can be like Jesus. And there are many different avenues that we can take when we live a Christ-like life. And it ought to be the desire of every believer. It ought to be the aim of every believer. It ought to be the drive of every believer that in our Christian life we mirror and that we're much like Christ. Why, there's a lot of ways we could never be like Christ. We could never be like Christ in that He is divine. He is the Son of God. We can't be like Christ in that we're not divine. We can't be like Christ in shedding our royal, rich, redemptive blood to pay for the sins of mankind. We can't be like Christ in rising again from the dead. I like what Brother Lester Roloff used to say. He used to say, Dr. Leakley, I never give up on anybody till they're dead over 3 days. We can't be like Christ in rising again from the dead in our own strength, in our own might, in our own power, but there are some ways that we can be like Christ, and one of the ways we can be like Christ is in humility. Now, humility will do several things for us, and humility, like Christ had, will cause us to do certain things. First of all, forgiving others. Would you look at Luke 23 and verse number 34? A way that the Christian can be like Christ is in forgiving others. Luke 23 and verse number 34. Luke 23 and verse number 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. A way that the believer can there be like Christ is forgiving offenses. Now here's something that ought to help all of us. You're going to be hurt. And you're going to be disappointed. And you're going to be let down. And you will be offended. I think it's the most humorous thing that anyone ever says to me when they say, well, Dr. Hamlin, you don't understand, I've been mistreated. Oh, you've heard me say it through the years countless times. I wasn't in this world 5 minutes till I was mistreated. I mean, a complete stranger hung me upside down, slapped me for no apparent reason. I came into this world mistreated. And you don't have to live very long until someone is going to hurt you. And if God ever starts holding grudges, that's when we're going to be in trouble. And if the Lord can forgive the likes of me, and if the Lord can forgive the likes of you in what we've done against Him, listen, since we've been saved, then we certainly ought to be able to forgive others. And so a way that a Christian can be like Christ is forgiving offenses. Secondly, finding others. Look at Luke 19. And verse number 10, Luke 19 and verse number 10. A way that the Christian can be Christ-like is finding others. Luke 19 and verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A way that the believer can there be like Christ is finding others. I was preaching Brother Dickerson a couple weeks ago in Hammond, Indiana. And we had some morning meetings during that conference. And on a Tuesday morning, I had the privilege of leading a man to Christ. And I later found out This would be at the Bible Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. I later found out that this fellow's wife had recently gotten saved and followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and her husband, first time he ever came to church, if I'm not mistaken, was in that conference to a Tuesday morning service. Now, I have to be honest, Brother Leithley, I've seen people saved as you have Sunday morning and Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. I mean, just any night that ends with a Y. I mean, I've seen people saved. But I think it's the only person I've ever seen saved in a Tuesday morning, basically, conference, preacher's meeting, fellow got saved. Have the joy of leading him to Christ. I found out after the service that his wife had recently been saved, and how she got saved is her and one of the ladies of the church were going down the road, and they went to turn into Burger King, and they both tried to get the entrance at the same time, and that doesn't work. And what happened is a road rage incident broke out between these two ladies, and they slammed on their brakes, and they hollered at one another, got out of the car, almost got into a fight. When the saved individual, the saved lady from that church, got convicted right in the middle of it. That's a good thing. I'm glad she got convicted about it, acting that way. And right in the middle of hollering at this other lady, she stopped and she said, "I'm saved. I cannot do this. I apologize. Doesn't matter who gets into Burger King first. I am sorry, and would you come visit our church?" That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? If that had been me, I'd have said, "I'm sorry, and I'd like for you to visit the Catholic church right down the road." But I mean, she got convicted and apologized and said, would you come to my church? This is no way for a Christian to act. And it kind of caught the unsaved lady off guard, and she said, I guess I can come. And she came and got saved, got baptized, followed the Lord in believer's baptism, in church all the time, and she got her husband to come to that conference. And that Tuesday morning, I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. You know, a way that we can, and I got a text message from the preacher last week, and he said that that individual got baptized, and man, he's in church every time the doors are open. You know, a way that you and I can be like Jesus is by finding others. Thirdly, forgetting ourselves. Look at Luke 23 and verse number 39. I'm going somewhere. I want you to stay with me. Luke 23 and verse number 39. "And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." You see, a way that the Christian can be Christ-like is forgetting ourselves. Now, in all three of these incidences in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, we find ways that we can be like Jesus. Forgetting ourselves is a way that we can be like Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, I'd sure like to forgive offenses, and I'd like to find others, and I'd like to forget about myself." You know what the key to all that is? Humility. Humility. The only way that we forgive offenses, the only way that we find others, listen, if you witness to somebody, you won't be a personal soul winner very long until you're going to have to realize humility is very important. You won't talk to many people about Jesus until you realize, after you've been cussed and thrown off their porch, and threatened, and any number, I mean from A to Z, all kind of things, you're going to find out that you won't win many people to Christ unless you're humble. I was driving through the night to get from one meeting to the next, and I stopped at a 7-Eleven. Man, it was early in the morning, late at night, early in the morning. And went to 7-Eleven, and the lights in the parking lot were out, and I went to 7-Eleven. I got a cup of coffee, and after I paid for the cup of coffee, I reached in my pocket and I pulled out of my pocket whatever a Christian should carry on their person all the time, a gospel tract, and I gave the cashier a gospel tract, and he looked at it and he said, "What is that?" And I said, "Well, it's some good news from the Bible. Everybody give some good news." it's a gospel tract. And he got mad, and he cussed me, and he wadded it up and threw it in the trash. He said, I quote, I don't want that garbage. Now, can we be very transparent? It takes a little bit of humility to take that. Can a brother get a witness? I mean, here you're trying to help somebody, and they cuss you. And it wasn't the first time I've been cussed. I have a mother-in-law. Not really. Well, I have a mother-in-law, but not really. She cussed. Well, maybe in her heart. But, you know, if you're going to win people to Christ, that's going to be standard fare. If you're going to win people to Christ, that's going to be something that happens on a regular, pretty much a regular basis. Well, I didn't say anything. I said, well, it'd really help you. And if that's what you want to do, that's up to you. He said, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. I paid for the coffee, went out in the parking lot. Now, mind you, the lights in the parking lot were out. And I don't know, I must have taken more time than he realized, because with the lights being out in the parking lot, I could see him. He couldn't see me. And he's trying to look out the parking lot to see if I had left. And when he thought I had left, now mind you, he can't see me, I'm still out there. He walked over to the trash. He pulled out the gospel tract that I'd given to him, unwadded it, and began to read it, standing at that register. Now, I wanted to honk the horn and flash the high beam headlights, but the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me do it. You see, the key in their forgiving offenses and finding others and forgetting ourselves, isn't it interesting that we can't be like Christ without humility? Back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. If we're not going to take step 1, there's no sense taking steps 2, 3, and 4. Shall humble themselves. Number 3. And Dr. Leakley, what time did you give me again, sir? Thank you. Very good. We're good. Number 3, it's catapulting. It's catapulting. You say, what do you mean? 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. A thing about humility that the believer needs to understand. The Bible teaches it. The Bible tells us it's catapulting. You go low, and that's how you go high in the Christian life. Now, in the world, that's the opposite. But you take whatever the world says, and you pretty much turn that on its head, and that probably is what God's Word says. And a thing about humility that the believer needs to understand, it's catapulting. You show me someone that God is using in a great way, and I promise you, they don't believe their own press release. I promise you, they can tell you their blind spots, their flaws, the kinks in their armor. I promise you that they'll understand if there's any success, if there's any favor, if there's any good, if there's any blessing, if there's any smile from heaven, it's all because of Him. Take your Bibles and look at a verse that I just saw this morning. Just this morning, having my devotions, and I thought, I'm going to put that right in the message. Look at Psalm 10 and verse number 12. Psalm 10, man, it's been there. It's been there since the ink was wet on the page. I promise you it's been there. But I just saw it for the first time this morning. Psalm 10 and verse number 12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. You want to go somewhere with God? Realize it's all Him and not you. You want to reach another level as a Christian or as a church, as a servant of God, a husband and wife, a son, a daughter, a grandfather, a grandmother, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, it doesn't matter. If you want to get to another level in your Christian life, you got to go low if God's ever going to take you high. It's catapulting. And then number four, not only it's conditional, it's Christ-like, it's catapulting. Number four, it's commendable. Please look at Proverbs 15 and verse 33. The thing about humility that the Bible teaches, that the Bible tells the believer that we must understand. You know, I look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, and by the way, then will only be when we humble ourselves. If we'll humble ourselves, it's amazing how quick 2, 3, and 4, those steps will come along. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Isn't it interesting? Step one is usually the one that gets us. Step one is usually the brick wall that we run into. Step one is usually about as far as we get when it comes, I hate to say it, when it comes to a 2 Chronicles 7:14 revival, we get step one. That's about as far as we go. Number four, it's commendable. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Boy, there are a lot of people that want to be honored. But you never will be honored, and I'll never be honored until we're honorable. And the only thing that makes us honorable is humility. Find someone that's truly worthy of honor, and every time they'll deflect the praise heavenward. Every single time. My mentor, you know it, Dr. Tom Malone Sr. And Dr. Malone's mentor was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I read the biography of Dr. Bob Jones Sr., entitled Builder of Bridges. It's out of print now, but I read it with great blessing and benefit. And in reading that biography, I came across an interesting story where Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was up in years and pretty much had come off the revival road and was staying close to home because of health issues. And he had given a group of people a tour, not legally, of the institution that bore his name. He showed them several of the buildings, at that time state-of-the-art buildings, and a beautiful campus, and showed them around. And one of the people in the group said to Dr. Bob Jones Sr., man, it's amazing what you've done here, and so beautiful, and lawns manicured, and buildings state-of-the-art, everything just first class. It's amazing what you've done here. Bob Jones Sr. said, thank you. They got to the end of the tour, and he said goodbye, and they said goodbye, and they got in their car, and they went to pull away, and they heard a tap on the glass, on the passenger side window, and they rolled the window down, and with tears in his eyes, Bob Jones Sr. said, before you leave, I want to correct something. I didn't do anything. God did everything. And I wanted to correct that before you pulled away, lest you think that I was responsible for all this. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. has been in heaven a long time, and we're still talking about him, and we're still quoting him, and we're still remembering how God blessed him and used him, all because of humility. No sense taking steps 2, 3, and 4, if we won't take step 1. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll not give invitation as such. But I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, who might say this morning in the very first service? I mean, really, when you think about it, Dr. Leithley, we're setting the die for the rest of the meeting. Setting the die for the rest of the meeting right now. I wonder who might lift their hand and say, "Preacher, I'd be willing these days. I'd be willing in this revival meeting to do step one. I'm not going to leapfrog step one. I'm not going to circumvent step one. I'm not going to try to get around step one. I'd be willing, first service, to humble myself and then do the rest of the steps that will surely take us to revival." You'd lift your hand. God bless you there and there and there, all over. I mean 100% all over. Heavenly Father, thank you for these few moments we've had together. And Lord, I pray for myself. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for all of us that this week in revival, that we'd be willing to take that first step, to humble ourselves. And Lord, I believe if we'll do that, that those other steps will come a whole lot easier. We won't have tried to take a shortcut to get a spiritual awakening. Bless, I pray, the morning preaching service. Thank you again for the kind attention of these my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?